The homily I'll give this morning is the same homily I gave on the sixth Sunday of Easter 6 years ago. I'm giving it again today because I think this message can help us to make some sense, at least some sense, of so much of the craziness that's going on in our country right now. In modern day America, love and approval are synonyms. They basically mean the same thing. Please don't misunderstand me here. I'm not saying that love and approval actually are synonyms. What I'm saying is that they've become synonymous in the minds of many Americans, maybe even the majority, although most of them are probably not aware of it. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, talks about love, real love, genuine love, in today's gospel. St. John does the same thing in today's second reading. To love another human being is to desire the good for that person, and then to do what you can do to help the person attain that good in his or her life. Which explains why Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago and died on that cross. It was out of this kind of love. Greater love than this no one has, Jesus said, than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ loved us, so he wanted us to experience the greatest good that we could possibly experience as human beings, which of course is heaven. But he also knew that we couldn't merit and attain that eternal life on our own, so he did what only a God-man could do. He made the ultimate sacrifice of love, so that through his eternal merits, we could attain the ultimate good, unending life in his kingdom. St. John summarizes it perfectly in today's second reading when he says, God sent his Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. God loves every human person, and he demonstrated that fact by sending his Son to die for us all. But at the same time, God does not approve of everything that we do in our lives. It's because we're all sinners who sin every day. Hope that's not a revelation to anybody. Certainly shouldn't be. He approves of some of the things we do, for sure. Our acts of kindness, our acts of mercy, our acts of forgiveness, etc. But not everything. This is clear from today's gospel reading when he says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Well, if that statement is true, and we know it is since Jesus said it, then so is the opposite true. If you don't keep my commandments, you will not remain in my love. Obviously, Jesus does not approve of sin, ours or anyone else's. Nor are we supposed to approve of sin. That message comes through in the very next paragraph of the text when Jesus says, love one another as I love you. Jesus loves us. He desires the good. He desires the best for us. But he does not say amen either to the sins that we commit in our lives or the sins that other people commit in their lives. And neither should we, if we want to love as he loved. Does this make sense to you? It should. But if it does, I hope you understand something. I hope you understand you are in the minority right now in the United States of America and in much of the Western industrialized, technologically driven world. As I said at the beginning of my homily, in the minds of many Americans today, love and approval are synonyms. That means if you say you love somebody, you must approve of everything they do. That includes the sins they commit in their lives. And if you don't believe me, just read the newspaper or watch the evening news. In 21st century America, for example, if you don't approve of abortion, then many people will say, you hate women. That's why a lot of good pro-life organizations have been labeled hate groups. If you don't approve of homosexual activity, then you're accused of hating homosexuals. If you support securing the border with Mexico and don't approve of illegal immigration, then you're accused of hating immigrants. If you don't approve of people mutilating themselves, and taking potentially harmful drugs in order to deal with their gender dysphoria, then you're accused of hating transgendered people. If you don't approve of certain sins, certain socially acceptable sins nowadays, you're immediately called a hater. Now that's an illogical position. Hatred does not necessarily follow from disapproval, but an awful lot of people have bought into the lie that it does. And many of those who have bought into the lie are teaching your children and your grandchildren in schools and universities all over this country. This really hit home with me several years ago when a college student came to see me at the rectory. This young man came to me because he was struggling with his faith. He said, "Father Ray, I'm not sure I want to be Catholic anymore." I said, "Well, why not?" Well, he said, "My family goes to church, and I did too when I was in high school. But when I went away to college, I became friendly with some people who are gay. And I know that as Catholics, we're supposed to hate gays. But I don't hate these people. I like them." I said, "Wait a minute, time out here. As Catholics, we're not supposed to hate anybody. We may not approve of some of the things they do, but even then, as the old saying goes, we're supposed to love the sinner and hate the sin." We talked for a while longer. I tried to explain to him the teaching of the church that it's not a sin to experience same-sex attraction, but the sin comes with certain actions that follow from the attraction, something he should have known already since he had come to my youth group when he was in high school. I also reminded him that so-called straight people can commit sins that are equally serious if they act on their sexual impulses in the wrong way. I even said to him, "Look, I know people who experience same-sex attraction and I don't hate them. In fact, I consider some of them to be my friends. Now, if they're committing a serious sin and I find out about it, I certainly don't approve of that. I don't approve of anyone's sin, including my own. But I definitely don't hate them, or anyone else for that matter." Well, he still had some difficulty getting his mind around this idea of loving the sinner and hating the sin. So I finally said to him, "Let me ask you a question. Do your parents love you?" He said, "Of course they do." I said, "You're sure of that?" He said, "Yes, I'm sure." "You're positive about that?" "Yes, I'm positive." "You have no doubts about that?" "Yes, Father Ray, you know my parents. You know they love me." "Well," I said, "do your parents approve of everything you do?" He smiled a little and said, "Well, no." I said, "Then your parents must hate you. You're saying to me that Catholics hate gays because they disapprove of some of the things that gay people do. Well, according to that logic, your parents must hate you because they sometimes disapprove of some of the things that you do." At that point, I think a light bulb finally got turned on in his brain. And he left that day with a promise to reflect on what I said. That young man, my brothers and sisters, is not alone in his perspective. In fact, I would say that many, maybe even most college students right now approach contemporary moral issues with the same erroneous ideas about love and hatred in their minds that this young man had in his. So I have a homework assignment for you today. It's a simple one, but it's very important. Recall the core idea of this homily, which can be expressed in one line. Love and approval are not synonyms. Neither are hatred and disapproval. Your assignment is to remember that fact and then to share it with others, especially your children and grandchildren, who need to know it and who need to believe it long before they go to college.